Hey, 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 what's going on, Podcast Nation? It's Jason Harris here, and thank you for joining me on another episode of The Drive, Las Vegas Edition. I'm here with one, the only, infamous, I'll go with that one.
All right, fine.
Matthew Davis with Trade Penny. Matthew, thanks for taking the time to come chat.
Thanks for coming. And you know, when you said like, "Hey, let's do a video shoot in a van," I was kind of worried initially. But concerned? This seems legit.
Well, look, you know, I've been a big fan of what you guys have been doing, and you know, I think it's so cool for us to get a chance to kind of sit here, really kind of jam about it, and also there's just so many new things going on with you guys,
totally.
You know, and just what. So, actually, let's start with this because I love kicking off these podcasts with a little origin story, right? Because I don't think anybody just kind of wakes up one day and goes, "Yeah, let me go do automotive." That sounds awesome, right? You know, so I'm curious, just for yourself, man. Like, how'd you get in automotive?
How do we end up here?
Yeah.
It all starts, so my background has been a mix of entrepreneurship, sales, and marketing, and kind of all jumbled up there and together. So my first business was weaving and selling baskets to my parents' friends. I was probably 10 years old, right?
Nice.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can make like 40 bucks. You know, of course, I'm actually like weaving reeds and everything. So anyway, did that. Held just an embarrassing number of types of jobs, but in college I started a window washing business.
All right.
Washed windows, pressure washed for 5 years, sold that business, sold mortgages for a few years, and then got into selling software. So it's software for a decade, all B2B software. So it's almost most of my career has been in business to business. Went back to business school to get the business degree and basically been selling. I was tired of selling and I wanted to do my own business again. So I did that. I'm in business school full-time in the evenings, but then working full-time in the day. And then my wife, we had a boy already, then we had twins. So then I quit my job to actually start a new business. So I'm making no money. I've got 3 kids under 3, and I'm going to school like full-time in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recommend that approach.
No.
That business went out. We ran out of money.
Yep.
We did everything right except make money. And so from there... then I shifted over. One of our mentors in the startup was a CEO at a company, still is. And so I went to work for him, ran his product, his marketing team. And that was my jump from sales into marketing. So I've been marketing software now for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And basically had burned out on that space and did some consulting for a little bit. And one of the companies I consulted with was Trade Pending, was friends with Bryce Engler, the CEO. Spent 6 months consulting with him. I'm like, this is fun. This industry is bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean that in a very good way. Like, we can have a ton of fun here. And so Trade Pending already had kind of a great kind of tongue-in-cheek sense of humor that kind of fits right in with my vibe and my style. So, like, all right, let me take what they've built. Let me see if I can amplify that and take it a step further. That was my origin story, plus a little bit extra.
Well, I mean, it's amazing how you kind of stumbled into it, right? You know, I mean, and you know, what I'll tell you this. Once you're in the automotive business, man, you're in. It gets in under your skin. It's in your blood. And you just can't get it.
It's so much fun. I've been at it for 4 years now. It's a great time.
It is so much fun. Okay, so let's talk about Trade Pending. I mean, so many cool things going on. Really, really appreciate what you guys are doing and kind of putting together, you know, this ecosystem of different solutions, you know, to really kind of help a dealership's operation. So for everybody out there watching and listening, you know, that don't know anything about Trade Pending, all right, just let's kind of do the rundown for them real quick.
All right, so we're really into kind of 3 main buckets today, and that's through building our own products, that's through acquisition. The first bucket is all about making your website work better.
Yes.
So, you know, the fancy word for that is website optimization or website conversion. We're most known originally for our trade-in tool. You slap this thing on your site, consumers trade their contact information for a trade-in range on their car, right?
Yes.
That product has been gangbusters for us. Been doing that since 2014. 4,000 rooftops doing that today currently. Then from there, the kind of the next turn of that is single price offers and guaranteed single price offers. So there's more motivated shoppers. You take them a little bit farther down the funnel. They're willing to spend more time with you. That's our offer product. You're going to catch a theme here. Our products are named kind of what they do. The next product in that bucket would be payments. That was through our acquisition of AutoAPR. Again, it's kind of recognizing that some people just want to come to your site and very quickly get an estimated payment on their car. They don't want to go through a 30-minute digital retailing process. Some do, but not all.
Yep.
And so it does a phenomenal job at converting that website traffic into leads, into payment conversations. So that's bucket number one. making your website better. Bucket number two is all about making it easier for salespeople to sell cars.
For sure.
Right? So first kind of little product there is called badges. It is essentially real-time market data on every piece of inventory that you have. It's things like, hey, this car is a fast seller in your market. This car has a popular engine. It has rare trim. Like, it only sits on the lot for 22 days. Builds value, create urgency. It's all automatically populated. And as a salesperson, you can look at that. And when somebody says, like, hey, can you knock $500 off that car, $1,000? You're like, well, actually, look at this thing. Like, sure. It sells in an average of 5 days, and there's only three of them within 500 miles. We got one right here, so we got a great deal. So that's badges. We take that to the next level with AutoBio. That's one of our newest products, and that is essentially
That's a cool one. I dig this
one. Yeah, digital brochures, right? So the whole idea here is whether a person is in-store or online, you want to give them one spot, i.e. you, to do all their vehicle research, to get the Carfax, get the window sticker.
Well, it's a storytelling, yeah. You know what I mean? And then I got to say, you know, Risa said, I just recently saw 80% of the sales team inside of a dealership right now has only been in the automotive industry 2 or less years.
Right. A lot of COVID hires in there too. Right?
Yeah, 100%. A lot of COVID hires out there, right? And I hate to say it. No, don't get me wrong. There's some amazing operators out there, but it's become, I think, a lost art of storytelling. You know, I mean, for me, that's kind of how I built my career, was just this ability to kind of storytell the benefits of the dealership and why they should do business with us, storytell the benefits of the vehicle and why they should ultimately purchase the vehicle. And I just, that's kind of been lost. And you guys built this really cool piece of tech that really assists in that.
Yeah. And so, when you think about, like, having all that research in one spot, the consumers love it because they can stay in one spot and get it. But it's great for kind of, we're still in bucket two here, making it easier to sell cars. And that is, every salesperson is now an expert on every vehicle on your lot, new and used. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to go hunting down for all this information about it. They can pull it up right there. And so what's great about it is that the more you send to these things, the more you will sell, because people will stay with you. They will stay engaged with your brand. You're top of mind for them. We just got story after story where new reps are sending these out to every single lead that they get.
Of course.
And they are rising up the ranks to be the top salesperson in the dealership.
Well, and I think that's really cool, because a lot of your guys' tool sets are kind of built for that. It's to really assist the person.
Right.
You know, and assist the dealership in time management, making things more efficient. But I mean, really kind of like super armoring, you know, the mm-hmm. salesperson, you know, to really drive home a process driven experience, right. You know, and, you know, okay. So anything else?
We're still on bucket two.
That's what I'm saying, guys. There's a lot here.
Let's wrap up bucket two. And so then that would, the last bit of that, making it easier to sell cars, it's video. So this is through our SnapSell acquisition. You and I love talking about video because we do a lot of video. Yes. But you can just see, like, this is for both sales and for service. It's mm-hmm. extremely powerful in the sales cycle when you can get that lead and say, hey, I'm Matthew. I'm your salesperson. I'm going to be working with you. I love working here at this dealership. We got great people. Here's where you're going to find me. Walk in the door, see me right here. Like, it sells cars. People will drive past other dealerships to come to you because you took the time to send them a video introduction. And, of course, there's, like, almost an infinite number of touch points you can use video there across sales and service. But I mean, that is easily one of the hottest things we're seeing right now in terms of adoption.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, you're making it easier to sell cars, you know, and you have this beautiful bucket of kind of the solutions that are assisting in that. Okay. So that's bucket two.
Bucket two. So bucket one,
yes.
Make your website convert better. Bucket two, make it easier to sell cars. Bucket three, make it easier to retain your customers, keep them loyal. And so that comes right back to video as well in the service drive, mm-hmm. building trust by saying, like, hey, look, your tires are in great shape. This is in bad shape. Like, your brakes mm-hmm. are in bad shape. So you got to point out the good and the bad. Or if nothing's bad, shoot, somebody brings it in, you get the MPI done, it's like, hey, everything's great. And the next time when they get that video and something's wrong, they're going to believe you.
Right? 100%. Well, it creates that confidence. I mean, you know, we talk about retention. I mean, retention's not a new concept. I mean, mm-hmm. we've been coming up with strategies for retention for many, many years. But here's what I find about retention. It's never one big thing.
No.
You know, it's a lot about the little things that we do, and not necessarily what we do, because at the end of the day, the customer knows what you do, right? There's a 30-foot sign outside that says what you do, right? But why you do it the way you do it, it's that commitment, all right, to the operations, commitment to that process, and those little things, customers really feel. Right. They really feel it.
It's super important. And so we'll kind of wrap this whole segment up of what does trade pending do here. The last bit of it, service offers, service marketing, right? And that is through our acquisition of Fixed Ops Digital and Owen Moon and his team. Phenomenal people, phenomenal product. And it just takes... The best way to describe it, it turns your website into a service marketing machine. Just really clearly and easily, here's our offers, here's the specials. It syncs those across the marketing channels so you don't have different messages going out to different spots, right? Also, a phenomenal opportunity here just because of how little service marketing is actually done and the fact that how profitable it is and how it's getting harder to sell cars. So any dealership that is looking to juice that bottom line, work on that absorption rate, like this is the product to check out.
100%. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, what you've done here is just put this beautiful, you know, multi-bucket solution, you know, to really assist the dealers. And the one thing I can really admire is that you guys have, you're customer centric, but dealer process focused. You know, so I'd like to kind of talk a little bit about the processes. I find, you know, sometimes we come in with these pieces of technology and we're kind of like, the technology is just going to come with this pre-built process.
Right.
But you guys have got this just great menu of technology that supports the dealership's process. And what would you say would be one of the most important processes that we should be focusing on, or maybe a handful of processes the dealership should be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, as it really relates to us and in general, right, it's all about how you handle that lead flow, right? So if you've got a tightly dialed in process, here's what happens with every single lead, and here's how we're going to report on it. Here's how we're going to hold you accountable to it. Here's how we're going to measure you on it. Here's how we're going to recognize when you're not in it so we can coach you on it, right? That's one of the biggest pieces, whether it's a sales lead or a service lead. If you got the BDC, if you can say like, yep, every lead that comes in, we're going to read lead. We're going to understand like, what are they trying to trade in? What's their vehicle of interest? What kind of payment are they looking for? What kind of cars are they looking at? And then using that video outreach is like, hey, thanks for this. Looking forward to talking to you. We got this one in stock. That one's out of stock, whatever, right? If you can have that process dialed in and get people bought into it, really it's the management buy-in first that matters most.
It does.
That is what's really, really impactful. And it's not necessarily, I think we're fortunate that our products don't require change in processes, right?
Yes, right.
It requires improvement of existing processes.
100%. And the process is only as good as the technology that ultimately supports
that's
it.
Right.
I did want to go down the rabbit hole a little bit around the trade solution.
Okay, let's go.
Right? Because there's a lot out there.
Right.
You know, and, you know, dealerships, I mean, I think they all realize that there is a solution needed here. Mm-hmm. There's something that's definitely required here. You know, what really kind of separates your guys' trade solution from the rest of the pack?
You gotta understand the landscape of tools that are out there, right? Mm-hmm. So you have very basic forms, like put in your information, you'll hear back from us, right? Please don't do that.
Yes.
Just do anything, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Then you've got the trade in range tools, right? If you do it right, very quickly, you just put in some contact information, get a range, right? We do that. Then there's the next step, like answer some more questions, get a single price offer. There's that. Then you've got kind of the full blown, like answer 80 questions, upload pictures, do a full appraisal, right? Great solutions, right?
For sure.
So where we play, we're mostly in kind of that early stage, upper funnel, like get people involved, get them in the conversation.
Oh, that's the key. Conversation. Get them into the conversation.
Right. And so we are really great at converting that website traffic into leads through the trade-in tool, through our trade products, through our offer products. So it's kind of a marketing position. You have to understand that that's what we're doing, right? If you were trying to convert your website traffic into leads, don't use a DR tool.
Yes.
Don't use a full-blown appraisal tool, right? You need those, but don't misunderstand what they're actually good at. They're not good at that. So there's that. So then when you look at the landscape of, right, well, who's actually given trade-in ranges and offers on cars, what really sets us apart is... People ask us, well, what book do you use?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, we don't use a book, right?
Remember having an indent in my dress pants where I would keep my black book at. I mean, I know I'm dating myself now, but.
Right. So we're looking at real-time local market data. So we start as close to the dealership as we can. Somebody's trading in a 2018 Camry. We're looking to see how many 2018 Camrys are for sale or have sold. And we've got the algorithms in place. I'd like to say, ooh, it's AI, whatever. Like, AI is a little overhyped. We can talk about that later. There's some cool stuff out there. But anyway, a really, really smart approach to how to weight that and measure that. And then you just kind of expand out from there to find, you know, a minimum of 30 vehicles that are the same, right? And so from there, by looking at the retail ask prices, you can actually have a sense of what dealers are selling it for. You don't have to look at wholesale values. You don't have to look at book values, and you update it daily. That's probably the biggest thing that we still have to educate people on is like, why would you look something that updates every month, every 6 months, every sure. week, when you can have something that is real time focused and with the ability from our side to configure it. If you are the type of dealer that wants to be conservative and have your numbers try to be as close as possible, do that. If you want to make the bands a little bit wider, make them more aggressive because you have an acquisition strategy, you want to source more vehicles, like do that. So we give you that control and configurability. So those are the two big ones, kind of looking at the market in real time, not looking at books, not looking at wholesale, but then also having the ability to configure that so that it matches your strategy.
Yes, 100%. Well, and again, it just betters our operations, creates more of a customer-centric approach to it. And like I said, I think one of the biggest things when I was kind of listening to it, it's just... to me, I don't know if I necessarily want to call it a lead generation. It's more like conversation generation, you know, because like trading in your vehicle, it to me is not a lead form as much as it is a conversation, right? Getting a valuation on a car, you know, and I'm with you. It doesn't come from 80 questions and a bunch of pictures. Like I want to have a conversation
right.
with a person, right? I mean it, I want to understand, you know, why they value it that way, you know, and I want to understand what I can provide that will assist and help them in better valuation. I mean, look, like I've, you know, if I had a customer come in trading their vehicle and they had a manila folder this thick with service records in it,
right,
I will tell you I pay more for that.
Amen.
You know, like I do like, you know, it's just they're able to bring that in and bring a story to it, you know, so it requires that conversational element. And I love the fact that you guys, you kind of kick it off. You're kickstarting that conversation.
I think an important piece of that, what you're getting at is that when you have a trade-in lead, you're talking to them about their trade-in. The best dealers, best customers we have are the ones who recognize that. And the process is, oh, tell me, why are you thinking about trading in this car? As opposed to, hey, we see you got a trade-in. When can you come in? We got these other cars for sale.
Yes. Well, okay. That's the
right? When you like, cars
it's
are
not,
so emotional.
It's not really trading it in when it's contingent on the fact that I need to buy a vehicle.
Cars are so emotional. And so when you can tap into that emotion, it's like, why are you thinking of trading in? You're probably A, going to be entertained because you're going to get some great stories. Yes. But then you are getting to the truth of somebody, and like you're understanding what's making them tick, and you're going to understand how to get them into a better next car.
Well, and I think that's, if you're out there watching and listening right now, what me and Matthew are kind of alluding to here is that, you know, trading in is, it's not necessarily a fixated 12-point process, right? Like, it's, you know, it's not like, I need to do this, and then I need to do this, and then I need to do this, that ultimately, you know, get to a final destination. But it's a conversation, you know? And I think that some of the best operators out there, and you know if you are, because you're watching and listening right now, all right? But that's how they're approaching them. They're approaching them as this amazing opportunity to have a conversation around something that they're emotionally connected to, you know? And I think that's the way we have to treat it. And I see the best operators do that as well.
Indeed.
Let's get into payments. Man, you know, customers today, there's just, I think there's this price shock. You know, it's like, what happened? I bought that Suburban 5 years ago, you know? So it's so insanely important for dealerships to figure out a way to be incredibly transparent in their pricing. Yeah.
Indeed. And so if you're thinking about payments, I can walk you kind of through the same approach. And you got to understand what your options are out there. You have the basic just calculator.
Yes.
Right. Which, please don't do that, because it takes like into account like zero, like any extra fees, like credit. Right. Yep. So you're going to end up somebody with just a bad number that now you got to talk your way out of, and they're going to not trust you. They're like, instead of the tool, right? So don't, but there's the basic ones. Then you got the third party banks, right? Great brand recognition there from having that on your site, but you know, they're more interested in taking you off your site. They want that money, right? They want that F&I process. So you're kind of removing your F from the F&I process.
Yep.
They'll put even like the numbers for their bank. So like, call them, right? So don't call, right? So that's an option. It works well for some people. And sometimes there's monetary incentives that have that on there that then go away. But anyway, that's another story. Then you've got the digital retailing process.
Yes.
Great for what it is. Like, if you're going to walk people through a process, you want to try to handle everything all at once and basically try to sell a car online, have a super lead. That is can be a great approach for those really motivated shoppers. That's going to be single-digit percentages. And you have the world that we play in, which is kind of like the payment calculator on steroids. Browse inventory by what you can afford, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super quick, takes less than a minute to go through that process. You can easily see what that payment's going to be. You can have a soft pull on your credit, so you get in a tighter range on that number. We are phenomenal at capturing those early stage buyers. So then you have this inflection point now where affordability is a big concern. Like, hey,
it's
there's
huge.
Not
I
a
mean,
lot
for everybody's got
not a lot of affordable new vehicles out there. Exactly. So everyone's after a finite number of used inventory. And so then, well, how do you help people understand what they can afford quickly so that they
and
can
easily,
continue that
and
process
easily,
and
right?
Easily,
so like,
right?
You know, I mean, but I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because I mean, affordability is probably one of the number one concerns out there right now. And, you know, I've been on a handful of websites and what do I got to go do? Like do 16 different builds and prices until I ultimately get to something that I think is going to be affordable. But you guys kind of took a different direction towards. I can actually come directly to the tool and tell them my affordability.
Right.
And you guys are able to identify the vehicles that are appropriate for me.
Yes. I mean, the people are coming to your site. They either like know what their monthly payment is going to be and want to shop by that, or they know the car.
Yeah, right? Yes, that's
and
right.
Like,
that's right.
And the payment. So like we can handle both of those approaches so that people are going to stick around on your site, right? If you don't have that flexibility, then that's why you see people like bouncing to 4, 5, 6 different sites to try to find what they're looking for.
Of course. And again, that just enhances that experience right before it comes into, but also kind of creates, but the process doesn't start there. And that's the one thing I think everybody needs to, you know, really kind of identify is that creates amazing transparency online, but that transparency in that process needs to continue into the dealership.
Right,
I'm kind of fascinated with that. I mean, you guys have created this online process, but then the transition from the online to the physical, right, is where I think some of the most amazing operators out there start to really shine.
That's so hard to do right,
you know?
Right?
Yeah.
Just to have all the systems talking to one another. I mean, that's, you know, there's, if somebody can really, really solve that,
well,
billionaires.
I think it's also just even just the preparation of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, here's for me, you know, one of the things I think that can really just kind of diminish or, you know, set back an experience is that I go do this research online and same thing with trade valuation as well, right? Like, I went through this process and you guys use your tool and then I come to the dealership and I get entirely different information. You know, so that, and I think that's maybe just kind of the cautionary tale here, you know, with some of these tools for the dealerships out there watching, listening right now is that you guys really got to focus on just, you know, you're creating this amazing online experience, but how do you transition that online experience into your physical
and that,
experience?
That's so hard because when they come in and they get different numbers, they don't like, it's not like they're not trusting the tool. They're not trusting you.
Exactly.
And it's the tools and having them talk together. And by the way, this is the first time I'm seeing the Luxor giant Dorito.
Well, because marketing people, right? We have to admire the fact that they turned the entire hotel into a full-size Dorito.
And like, I almost want to go lick it, but you should never lick anything in Las Vegas. It's public.
If we need any soundbite, that's the one that we need. Don't lick anything in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to be fun. Okay, let's transition a little bit over to kind of the fixed ops side.
Yeah.
You know, because again, you just have this amazing set of tools, and I really think of from the retention perspective because we talked a little bit about retention before, right? And I am 100% convinced that over the next 5 years, retention doesn't come from the sales side as much as it comes from the fixed ops side,
right?
You know, and you guys have put together some really cool tools that really assist in both retention but also the conquesting of new customers into the service department. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Let's start with fixed ops digital. We acquired that Owen Moon and his team, right? We just saw like they had done a great job of making it really simple to market service offers on a website, right? That sounds like it should be easy to do, but it's really not, right?
No.
You can update prices, but then like, how do you actually take it to the next level of that? How are you communicating with customers that, yes, here are the specials, here are the offers. How do you update them and sync them across all the various channels that you have? That's where it starts to get really unwieldy.
Yep.
They had a great solution for that, and it's fit really nicely into the trade pending portfolio because we understand what it's like to have technology on a website to make your website better. That's one of the things we do.
For sure, for sure. But you're right. And again, it's about making things simple, making things easier, all right, but also, you know, streamlining that. You know, one of the most top visited pages, you know, for a dealership's website is their service specials. And I find that even more so now, just because everything's just costing more. The consumer is right. more aware of this. They are looking, you know, for that. But also, I think there's an opportunity in those offers themselves, you know, and really in the sense of also creating loyalty and thanking people
right.
for their continued business with us.
We, like, go to any other site on the internet and there's prices for what you're buying. And there's just still an amazing amount of dealership websites that do not have any pricing for service. And admittedly, there's some nuances in there you got to handle. You got to be prepared for.
Yes.
But it's the freaking 2020s. Let's list prices, right? That's just kind of the step number one, right? Because if you don't have that, those people are going to bounce off your site. They're going to be afraid, like, I'm going to get overcharged. I'm going to walk in there and it's going to be wicked expensive. And now I've wasted my time. Like, I'm going to go over here to Jiffy Fast Place.
Sure.
And I know it's going to be $49.99 or whatever.
Well, and then that's at least what they're
marketing. They're going to upsell me like air filters and all this stuff, and it's going to be a $300. Well, I'm poking fun there.
But no, there is some truth to that, right? There is kind of this misconception. I mean, you do have to kind of admire what some of these non-franchise, you know, service entities have done. Is, you know, they've done a better job of branding themselves as,
that's right.
You know, as the more affordable solution. But the data is there. The reality is that
the prices are just like neck and neck.
They're very, very similar. In some cases, even more so, right? So it's so. But I think that's, look, for the dealerships out there, this is your responsibility, you know, to educate your customers. I mean, I have to think of it this way. And I always think it's kind of funny, right? A dealership's website, let's say, indexes 300-500 pages, right? Because every single piece of inventory gets some page, right? There's like two pages dedicated to the department that will literally cover 100% of your expenses
right.
every month.
Right.
Like, I just don't think it's a fair shake, you know, and you guys have come with a solution that allows the dealerships to create some really rich content pages. Very simple.
A single person can manage it in a few minutes a week, right? It's that yes. simple, right?
Yes.
So Jason, let me get your thoughts on something here, right? So I think that 2024 is the year of service marketing, right? I'm calling
100%.
It. But, right, there's definitely some trepidation out there, like, hey, like, I'm already like 2 or 3 weeks out. Like, I don't have enough techs on, like, how
sure.
to, like, you can have amazing technology. How do you kind of get back to that people side of things? How are you seeing your dealerships handle that from the staffing side? And like the ones that want to grow versus those that don't?
Well, and it does really have to become a team conversation, right? You know, because when I talk to upper management, I have yet to find an upper management that says they don't want to grow their business.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, right.
And so that's why I think the first thing is team alignment, right? And, you know, look, I was a service manager, I was a service director. I have nothing but empathy, all right, for the shit show sometimes that can be going on
in the back of
a dealership, you know? And I understand the stresses and the demands of managing so many people, personalities, customers' needs, customers' requirements, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I've yet to meet a customer that gets super excited about having to service their vehicle. do you know what I mean? Like, so this is something that needs to happen,
right?
And it should be our objective and our goal to try to make it as enjoyable as possible. So there's all this tremendous amount of stress, and I 100% emphasize with that stress, but you can't use these excuses to the fact that, you know, you can't grow your business, right? Like, here's the thing. If you have a technician problem, you don't have a technician problem. You had a technician problem. It's just now it's become to the point where it was an obvious thing. You know, if you find it, like, some of the best operators out there, hiring for them is not light switches. You don't turn them on and off.
No, right.
They are always in the path of hiring and bringing in talent, or at least developing and growing new talent and trying to get new fresh blood into it. And it's just, I mean, that's what you have to do. And then, of course, you will find the real operators out there, the ones that are just like, nope, bring more. We're gonna handle this. We're gonna figure it out. But I think the very, very, very first thing, and I'll go back to it, is team alignment. You know, we can have a real conversation about this. But you know what? It's funny because, like, I even think team alignment on just trade values. You know, we're going back to that. I mean, right. I just remember just, you know, sometimes you get the new car and used car department literally pinged against each other. Right. You know, like, I mean, I remember literally breaking up a fight once between my new car manager and my used car manager because used car manager wasn't there. All right. They did a deal came back in. New car manager needed to hit an objective. All right. And decided to adjust the trade up another $1,000, you know, and I'm like, that's not team alignment.
Right.
Like, you know, yeah. You have to be aligned with your trade process. Right. Collectively, entirely as a management team, you have to be aligned with your servicing needs completely and utterly. Right. I mean, what's the one of the worst things that happened to me as a sales manager? I go sell a vehicle. Right. And then I hand this amazing relationship that I created over to my fixed ops department. And the first time they call in to get an oil change, they'll be like, I'll be 3 weeks from now.
Right. Yep. It's tough. Like,
It 100%. It's all about team alignment. But it's utilizing pieces of technology like you guys have put together, all right, to create that team alignment. And I love just the different buckets and landscapes you put together. I know we're getting towards the tail end of our time, and we could easily chat for a much longer point right. on this. But this has been a lot of fun, Matthew, and I really, really appreciate your time. Before I let you go, though, for everybody out there watching and listening right now who would love to connect with yourself or learn more about Trade Pending and all these amazing tools, what's the best way to do so?
TradePending.com. And anybody can hit me up at Matthew@TradePending.com. Easy.
That's great. That's awesome.
Two T's, not one T.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. You guys have an amazing day.